Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life, share your prayer requests or pray for others, read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
I want to speak a message today called Dinner Time. And I'm going to stick on the theme this morning around communion. And I don't want to, take away from anything Hannah's said, but I think this builds upon it. And what a beautiful time communion was this morning. But I want to talk about dinner time. Is there anyone that likes dinner time? I want to talk about that dinner table, if you like, of communion. You know, when I was dating my wife, I may have shared this before. I remember the first time that I had a meal with her family. Who has awkward memories of when you were dating that beautiful person and you went to their house for the first meal? Well, I went to my wife's house and her family home to have dinner, and they were having a barbecue. I thought, great, I get barbecues. It's a slice of white bread and it's a sausage and nothing else. I quickly discovered a barbecue at her house was very different to a barbecue at my house. A barbecue in my wife's family was no white bread. It was plates. Who does plates at barbecues, right? There were plates. There were cutlery. There was this green stuff on the barbecue called zucchini. That's just weird. I've grown to love it, but that's okay. I just remember the first time I had a meal with my wife's family and they're going, isn't this great? There's all this salad and like, what even is that? But anyway, it was dinner time. It was a barbecue. It wasn't your average barbecue the way I'd grown up. You know, I was used to white bread, a sausage, and if you really needed salad, it was sliced cheese out of the plastic wrapper. Just being honest with you all this morning. I also remember, I love stories if you haven't figured, but I remember growing up and I remember Christmas time. I loved Christmas time when I was a child because I loved the big feast that was put on at my grandparents' place. And my grandmother on my mum's side of the family, she knew how to cook, you know, one of those old-fashioned, I think they're called roasts, right? She knew how to cook a roast like no one else I've ever met on this earth. And she'd cook a roast and she'd lay it on. Like my nan would be cooking for, you know, like 3 months leading up to Christmas. She was that kind of lady. She knew what it was to put on a good dinner. You know, what I've discovered is that dinner's a great way to mark a celebration, isn't it? I had to laugh. It was just this week and it made me giggle a little bit. Sarah Reynolds put a post on Facebook, not to embarrass you, Sarah, but she was preparing a birthday and it didn't go well for Sarah. Everything was falling apart and she tried to cook a pav or something, is that right? Yeah, and it burnt. And everyone's going like commenting, just make a deconstructed pavlova. It's like, yeah, but it's black. And I love that. I won't say anything else, Sarah. You're a great cook. If you get asked to Sarah's for lunch, just be gracious. No, just go. Just go to her house. Food's a great way to mark a celebration. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it like this, but I reckon Jesus knew what he was up to when he did the Last Supper. If you want to get people to an event, utilize food. There's a little lesson for you. Don't ever underestimate the power of eating together. People like food. Have you ever noticed that? Is there anyone that loves food here today? Food's a great way to gather people. And I reckon Jesus understood that when he gathered his disciples for the Last Supper. You know, we have all sorts of traditions around significant events, and quite often it food's a part of that. And as we think about communion, and we've had communion already, but I want to share some thoughts with you that I hope encourage you today. We're going to have a look at a key text this morning. And the key text is this, Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 19. I'm just going to read you the first verse. Verse 14 says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table." Just for a moment, have a think about that. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. Now, I don't know how it works in your house, but when we're at the dinner table, if my boys slouch in the chair, I tell them to sit up straight. It's just what we do. It's like, no, you sit up, we're going to have dinner. No slouching in the chair. I'm a bit, you might say, old school like that. It says, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. I don't know how it works in your house, but I want to paint a picture today. And I hope this sticks with you for the rest of your days. But in my life, there is nothing better at the end of a busy day or a busy week coming home to seeing a table prepared, ready for me. I walk through the door and the table's ready. The family's there. And you know what's about to happen is one of those unique moments. Maybe similar to what Hannah was saying this morning, but one of those unique moments where just for a moment, it's just you, your wife, your kids, whatever family looks like, and it's just the people that matter most to you sitting around the table. I don't know about you, but for me, the older I get, that's becoming more and more a highlight in my everyday. I love it. I love coming home and sharing the dinner table with my family. You know, when I think about dinner and dinner time in my house, we actually have a few rules. We have a few things that we expect each other to do before dinner occurs. I want to share those with you this morning. I want to give you 3 points. You can write these down. They'll be on the screen. The first point is this, is that there's a place for you. If I invite you to my house for dinner, there will always be a place for you. There will always be a place set just for you. You see, everyone present in my house, if you get invited to my house, any person that comes into my house, there will be a place set for them. Everyone present in my house will always be invited to the table. You know, I love observing people that do catering really well. I had a beautiful mother-in-law that was very, very good at this. And she was almost like, please don't shut me down for this, but it was like she had some sort of magical power where it didn't matter how much was in the pot on the stove, another 10 people could walk through the door and that pot of whatever would stretch to always be enough for every person that come in the door. I love that. You see, when you come in to my house, I will make sure that there is always a place for you. See, if you're a family or a guest, I'll make sure there's provision just for you. I'll make sure when you come into my house that I will find something. It might be a milk coffee biscuit, but you would be amazed at what you can do with a milk coffee biscuit. There will always be something in my house that I will put on the table just for you. Are you hearing me this morning? I said it before, I'll say it again, but you know, there will always be a place for you, but I'll always make sure, as anyone that hosts people, as you would, I'm sure, you would always make sure that there is enough for everyone. Oh, how embarrassing it is when you run out of food. I'll put my hand up. I've had those occasions where it's like, oh, we didn't quite get enough. That's so embarrassing. Can I tell you this morning that there will always be enough when it comes to coming to the dinner table as we see this morning? My second point is this. Number one, there's a place for you. Second point is this. There's a cleaning process. There is a cleaning process. Again, your family could be different to mine. Mine could be incredibly weird. I'll give you the heads up. There's a good chance that could be true. But I guarantee for most of us, when it comes to approaching the dinner table, we have some rules perhaps similar to this. Second one, there's a cleaning process. You know, with our kids, and we get a little bit slack at this at times, but when my kids come to the dinner table, I expect their face to be clean and their hands to be clean. That's just something as parents, you know, we're not heavy on that. Like we're not, you know, we don't stand over our kids over those sorts of things. But as parents, I want to teach my children what it is to make sure they're respectable when they come to the table. Make sure that you're well presented. See, there's a process, there's a cleaning process that occurs when we come to dinner time, to the dinner table. So you do all you can to come to the table clean. You take the time to wash. As parents, we take the time to escort our little ones to the bathroom and we wash their hands and we wash their face. That's what we do for our children. Can I tell you this morning, that's exactly what God wants to do to us, His children, when it comes to communion. God wants to take us into the bathroom, wash our hands, wash our face, take care of us, take away the things that mess us up, and give us a fresh start. Who's glad about that today? See, we wash our kids, and God's no different. He wants to wash us just the same. My third point today is this. When it comes to dinner, we give thanks. In my house, we don't have a roster of who gives thanks when it comes to giving thanks before we eat. We share it round. We have a couple of pretty eager kids who don't mind taking their opportunity. And can I tell you this morning, not to embarrass my boys, but as a dad sitting there listening to my kids pray at dinner time, again, is an incredibly special time. Just to hear them praying and saying, God, thanks for this. Thanks for that. I love that at dinner time, and I'm not saying go my family, but I love, and I bet you do too, hearing my kids start praying for their siblings. Oh, that's special. Last night, not to embarrass, but Rushton played at youth for his first time. Did awesome. Was having a quick bite of dinner before we went out. We're sitting at the dinner table and Dexter said, yep, I'll give thanks tonight. And he just starts praying, God, thank you for this food. Ask that you'll bless it to our bodies. God, thank you for my brother Rushton. I pray that he goes well tonight. Oh, as a parent, I'm just getting messed up at this point. It's like, stop it. No, keep going. No, stop. Can I tell you today that it is no different in the kingdom of God? We come on a Sunday, we share communion, which is a symbol of all that Jesus has done for us on the cross. We come, we have that moment together. Can I tell you this morning that your Father in heaven sits in heaven and is, I'm convinced, is just sitting there going, hey, that's my daughter. That's my son. They're my kids. Check out how cool this is. Hey, see that one sitting over there praying now, giving thanks? Come on. Go that kid. See, God's no different to we are as parents. Are you still with me? We give thanks. We have a little saying in our house and I love it. We picked it up not that long ago and we adopted it with our children. But the saying goes like this. Well, our kids are perfectly normal. There's something on their plate and it's green, they squeal. I think it's a monster. We have a saying and it goes like this: you get what you get and you don't get upset. I love that. If we put something on their plate, they get what they get and they don't get upset. Just eat it. That's how it works. You're looking at me going, man, I'd hate to be your son. I'd hate to be your parent. I'm kidding, moving on. You get what you get and you do not get upset. See, when it comes to giving thanks, we make time, firstly, to be thankful for the provision. We make time to be thankful for that which has been provided for us. Whether it's peas. Do you know in my house that's one thing I won't make my children eat, peas. Now you want to be my kid, don't you? We have this thing where I don't expect my kids to eat something I'm not going to touch either. So peas, not going to happen. We make time to be thankful for the provision, unless it's peas. But secondly, we do this. In the process of being thankful, we recognize both the gift, the provision, but we also recognize the source of the gift. We recognize the person who has given us the gift. So we don't just pray, dear dinner table, thank you for this food, amen. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this food, amen. I believe that the power of thank you is incredibly powerful. I think the words thank you are hugely, hugely underrated. And I reckon there's a bunch of people in this room right now who, if we were honest, could sit around and go, yeah, there's things in my world that I do where I just feel undervalued and not thanked enough. Can I tell you the words thank you are some incredibly, incredibly powerful words. It's no different when it comes to us sitting before God. When we come before God and we use those words, thank you, they are incredibly powerful words. And I am convinced when my Father in heaven hears me say thank you, I'm convinced that it puts a smile on his face. And I'm convinced that it makes my dad in heaven go, hey, thank me for that. Maybe it's time to give him the next thing as well. God loves to hear his kids say thank you. Are you still with me? The Bible puts it like this. I'll give you the rest of the text this morning. Luke 22, 14 to 19. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Verse 17 says, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, take this, divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What beautiful words. And you know, we remember that in this church, we do it every second week. We remember communion, and I'm convinced that Jesus attached food to the Last Supper. See, he could have just prayed a prayer and said, don't forget, guys, Just don't forget, right? But he actually used food to help us remember the point. That when it comes to God, there's space for all of us. There's a place set for every single one of you at God's table. See, the truth is, we are all invited to the meal together. And we've already done communion. But when it comes to communion, every single one of us are invited to sit at the table. And in many ways, it's not too unlike dinner in our own house. You know, I'm like to think I'm a pretty fair dad. But in my house, when I say it's dinner time, I don't generally have to say everyone's name. Because my kids know that dad's fair. He's going to feed me, at least today. He's going to let me sit at the table. I don't have to say names because everyone's invited. And I want to use an illustration today because I'd love for this to stick with you for as long as you live, to be honest. To have an understanding that when it comes to a relationship with God, none of us are left out. I thought that if Pete couldn't be here, I would. Pete's written some incredible songs. Do you agree? Sorry, Pastor Pete has written some incredible songs. I will fess up just for a moment. I somewhat regularly actually play his music in my car when I travel alone, because the depth of the lyrics he writes, I think, is just amazing. He's written a song, you probably know it, and we couldn't afford to have him do it live today, but we burnt a recording and we'll pay him later, it's all good. He's written a song called Everything Is Ready. Oh, I don't want to say it's his best song. Personally, it's one of my favorites, but it's called Everything Is Ready. The door just opened. I thought it was going to be Peter come through with his violin. Sorry, Natalie, I didn't mean to embarrass you. It's a song called Everything Is Ready. Talks about making no more excuses. I'm all but done, I promise you. I'm going to play this song this morning. But on very short notice this morning, I had this idea that as this song plays, wouldn't it be awesome for someone just to come and illustrate setting a table ready for each of us. And this morning, oh, I love it, I phoned up my very good friend, our youth pastor, Andrew Blake. It was 8 o'clock. I said, mate, help. He said, what do you need? I said, good answer. He's going to come this morning, and just while this song plays, he's going to go through the process of setting the table. And I hope and pray today, as you listen to the words of this song, incredible words, and see someone go through the process of setting a table, I pray today that you'd understand those 3 points. One, there's a cleaning process. That all the family of God is invited to this table. Two, there's a place set just for you. That God wants to continue to wash you and restore you, to clean you, to make you right, to cleanse you. Number three, that as we sit at the table, before anything we do, we give thanks. And you know what's interesting, really? At the end of the day, no one else can give thanks for you. We sit at the dinner table and someone gives thanks, but unless in the bottom of your heart you can say amen to that prayer just for yourself, really it means nothing for you personally. Because no one can give thanks on your behalf, really. We got to do that ourselves. We got to take ownership of giving thanks. So we're going to run this track. You can close your eyes. You can watch what goes on. But I pray that you would remember this forever and a day, that God has prepared a place at his table just for you. Thanks, guys.
No more excuses. The table's been prepared. No more excuses. There's a banquet to be shared. He said, come. Everything is ready. He said, come. Everything is ready. No more excuses. Invitations have been made. No more excuses. There's a place for you been laid. He said, come. Everything is ready. Said, come, everything is ready. Excuse me, one said, there's work to be done. Excuse me, one said, I just got married, so I just can't come. He said, come. Is ready. He said, come. Everything is ready. Excuse me, won't say. Right now is not a real good time. Excuse me, won't say. It seems I'm having too much fun. He said, come. Everything is ready. He said, come. Everything is ready. Go out quickly now into the streets, bring in the poor, the lame, the crippled, and those who cannot see. Go out in the town. Fill up every room, for those who were invited will never taste this food. What excuse do you give when your invitation's been received? What excuse do you give for your failure to believe? He said, come. Everything is ready. He said, come. Everything is ready.
See, here's my point. That for every single person in this room, God has prepared a place just for you. God's constantly at work on your behalf. And because of what he's done through his son Jesus, he's doing everything he can to make sure you find a seat at that table. And this morning, I don't want to assume, or I don't know where you stand before God, but I want to tell you this morning that no matter your journey, no matter your walk, no matter where you are, no matter how messed up you think your life is, that because of what Jesus did on a cross, our Father in heaven's prepared a seat at the table just for you. And this morning, my heart, my hope, my prayer is this, is that if you've never ever said yes to following Jesus, I pray that perhaps today would be that day for you. Perhaps you wandered off. Perhaps you've given up. Can I tell you today, don't give up. Don't walk off on Jesus. Find your space. Find your spot at the dinner table.